So I'm Allison Bresky. I'm here with my grandma.
I am Sandy Egger.
And we are in Katanning at the moment at her house.
For Thanksgiving.
Yes. So what was your early childhood like?
I lived in a very small town in Clarion County. My father was a coal miner. My mother was a stay-at-home mom. We played outside a lot. I have two brothers and two sisters. So our lives were always pretty busy. We did a lot of things. Went to a little local school. We walked to school. The school was that close. We would walk even home for lunch. We would get home at lunchtime for school. A very small town, had one little store in it. Railroad tracks ran through the middle of it. That was my earliest years. I don't know how far up you want me to go.
We didn't move
to Katanning until I was 12 in 1963. I was in seventh grade, and in my homeroom when I got to Katanning, there were five Bowsers in my class, because my maiden name was Bowser, but none of us were related. So Bowsers apparently there's a lot of Bowsers around. I know there's a lot of Bowsers at Worthington. But 7th grade through 10th grade, I went to Katanning, and then in 11th grade, I went to Lenape for data processing. At the time, it was called data processing. Today, it would be computer sciences or whatever, and I graduated from there in 1969.
What was, the first job you got out of that?
I actually started working when I was in high school. I worked first for a lumber company, for Brigad Lumber. I did key punch for that, which young people today probably don't know what a key punch is, but that was the beginning stages of computers. Then I went from that job and I worked at the telephone company. It was called Alltel then. And I did that after school, and then after I graduated from school, I started working full time at the telephone company.
Interesting. What's your best childhood memory?
Best childhood memory. We had a lot of fun. Our youth group at church in UE did a lot of fun activities. I remember sled ride parties where we had fires, and we'd have hot chocolate and popcorn and stuff for the kids. And we sled ride. We were outside a lot in the winter. I actually liked winter a lot. I don't like it so much now that I'm older, but I did like it when I was a child. We used to toboggan. We had a toboggan. We all had sleds. We just would go out, roll around in the snow, make snowmen, had a good time. I would say winter in my early childhood was probably a lot of good fun. We did a lot of fun things. Yeah.
Winter's always been my favorite season. What were your parents like when you were growing up?
My dad, because he was a coal miner, he worked away because he had to drive pretty far to go to work. It was at least an hour because he drove from UE, Pennsylvania, which is in Clarion County, is where I was born. He drove to Cadogan, and then at one point I think he even drove further than that, but I think most of the time he was at Cadogan. So Dad worked a lot, so Mom took care of us at home, but we were involved a lot in church stuff, and Mom was always baking something, which is probably where I got my love of baking, because she baked bread every week. We knew Monday was bread baking day and was laundry day. We actually did not have an indoor bathroom when I lived at UE. Which may be interesting to some people. Some people think, oh, gross, but they did not have city sewage where we lived. It was a real small coal mining town. That they were little coal mining houses that were built by the coal companies. So we did not have, we did have running water inside, but the water was not real good because of the coal mining that had been done there. It was sulfury. Mm-hmm. It was red a lot of times. You had to almost get it filtered. But there was a spring nearby. We used to walk up to the spring and Mom would send us up with jugs. And we would, back then they were glass jugs. We would go up and get jugs full of water and bring them home for her for us to drink and for her to use in different stuff that she cooked. So I forgot what your original question was. I'm sorry.
It was about your parents, but.
Oh, okay. Yeah, mom was home with us all the time.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, we didn't bug her a lot. We, like I said, we were outside playing a lot of times, but we did help her with sometimes. She made donuts for the church. I do remember that was a big thing, and we loved watching that because we got to eat the donut holes. They would sell them by the bag, but there was nothing better than getting fresh homemade donuts that were, you got out and put them in, rolled them in powdered sugar or in sugar, and got to eat them. And then we got to deliver them to the people in Yui that had ordered them. So she was a good mom. My mother was a good mom. She was very, very giving, very forgiving, you know, of people, and very tolerant of people. And she had a very good heart.
Well, what about your grandparents? Do you remember either sets and what were they like?
I do. My grandparents lived, we lived in a house in Yui, probably maybe a quarter of a mile away from them. My grandmother and grandfather lived in the house that we ended up living in years later, but my grandfather died when I was six. He died in 1950, I was born in 1951. He died in September of 1957. He had a massive heart attack. Grandma, we used to love, on the way home from school, we would stop there. And back then you would take pop bottles back to the store. They used to have the knee high and I can't remember what all kind of Heyer's root beer and stuff that were in bottles. When you took them back, they gave you 2 pennies. And we thought that was such a great thing because we would all get, they would give us a bottle, you know, we'd take it back to the store because back then you could buy penny candy with it. But after Grandpa died, then Grandma, I would say about a year and a half later, she actually got married again and she left Yui. And she moved to Freeport, actually. She lived down along the river, like down past where the high rise is now. I think it's Water Street there, I'm not sure. But she lived right along the river. We would go down and visit her and go down and play in the river when we went to visit. She married a very nice man. His last name was Boer. So she went from being Grandma Bowser to Grandma Boer. But and her real name, everybody called her Curly because she had curly red hair. But her real name was Floda.
How do you spell it?
F as in Frank, L-O-D-A. Floda, it's something you don't hear very often. And my grandfather's name was Clinton Foster, but everybody called him Mose. They all seem to have nicknames back there. I'm not sure why, but back then.
Mm-hmm.
So after Grandma left, we actually moved up to the house that they lived in. By that time, there were 5 of us kids with Mom and Dad, and the house where we were, there were only 2 bedrooms in it. So we moved up to the other house. Still did not have an indoor bathroom, though. We still had an outhouse. And new neighbors, you know, kids that I went to school with lived up more that the other side of, up above the tracks, the railroad tracks. There were kids there that, you know, that I maintained friendships with over a lot of years. And then Grandma passed away when I was 16. My other grandparents, my grandmother actually passed away before I ever met her. That was my mother's mother. It was Grandma and Grandpa Smith. Her name was Edna. His name was Bill. And she was 42 when she passed away. She had high blood pressure. And back then, apparently, there was no treatment for it. So, she died of, I think she probably had a stroke. And I was not born until, I know Sharon was a baby, so it was probably 4 years after that. So I never knew my grandmother on my mother's side. But my grandfather was a minister. He pastored a church down in, I think it's Washington County, a little town called New Eagle. He actually built a church there. And he was very good minister. He ministered a lot. He would go into Pittsburgh and ride the trolley cars in Pittsburgh and stop and pray for people and talk to people. Everybody loved him. Any place he pastored, he had, you know, a lot of people that loved him. And that after my mother had another sister and a brother, But after grandma died, then my grandfather married again, and he married a woman, Mary, and they had a daughter named Joyce. So Joyce is actually younger than me, but she's my aunt. It's kind of a funny story, but we didn't have a lot to do with each other for a lot of years, but we've renewed that friendship and that family relation now. But Grandpap, one of his favorite things to do when he would come to the house when I was little, I played piano, and he would walk in, the first thing he would say is, "Go play me a song." And he always wanted the same song. It's called In the Garden. And he would ask me to go play it and sing it. And that's a memory that I have of him. He was a very good man, very, very good man. He got cancer, and he died. I think Steve was a baby. Allie's dad was a baby when he died. Well, he might have been a couple years old or 3 years old. So it was probably about 1976 or 1977, I would say, when he passed away. So I have no living grandparents. My grandmother on my dad's side, when she passed away, she also had died of cancer. So, been a lot of cancer in our family.
All right, well, once you got older, how did you meet Pappy?
Okay, I worked for a magistrate who is like a district judge. Mm-hmm. And Pappy would bring, Tom Pappy, mm-hmm. he was a state trooper, and he would bring citations into the office where I worked. And he at the time was going through, was separated, was not divorced yet, but he was living, you know, he was living by himself. And he kept, every time he would come in, he would talk to me, and he'd tell me about his kids, and I would tell him about Steve. And I had had a previous marriage that my mm-hmm. husband had left me, and I was raising, you know, a son on my own, and he had four children. So we would talk about our kids, you know, a lot. I didn't even know anything about his personal life, but as it turned out, we just kept talking and talking a lot, and the relationship developed, and we started dating. We dated, we saw each other for probably 6 or 6.5 years before we got married, because neither one of us was sure we wanted to get married again. But we did. We got married after we had seen each other probably about 6.5 years. We got married in June 6, 1981. So we've been married 38 years. It'll be 39 years in 2020. He's a very good man. I love him with all my heart. He's been a good man, good husband. He's been a good father. He's been a good mm-hmm. grandfather. Yeah. He's a lot of fun. He's just mm-hmm. a lot of fun to be with. So, but that's how we met, through a magistrate where I worked, and he was a state trooper. He used to come in.
How did you feel about him having kids at the time?
Oh, I love kids. So, it was no problem, you know. Mm-hmm. Having blended families, it's a common thing today. Even then, even 35, 40 years ago, there were probably more blended families than what we realized, but being a step-parent is not always easy. It's not for the faint-hearted, because you have different personalities, you have conflicts sometimes that happen that one or the other will say, well, you're not my mom or you're not my dad, and you just have to keep loving through that and let them find their own way a little bit and give them a little bit of space to try to do what they did. But him having kids, no, that was great, yeah, made me happy.
How did he propose?
Actually, I probably did. I told him we'd been seeing each other long enough, and we either had to get married, not had to get married, but we needed to either get married and let the relationship go where it was going to go, or not, or quit seeing each other. And it was breaking my heart, because I thought, I don't know if he's going to. So it was actually me who brought up about getting married, and at first it wasn't that he was against it, but he was afraid. He mm-hmm. he had a very difficult marriage, his first marriage, and but eventually he must have thought I was worth it, so we got married in June 6, 1981.
Cute. What do you feel is your biggest accomplishment in your life? That's a deep question.
That is a very deep question. When, especially on Thanksgiving, you think about all the things that you're so grateful for. And probably, I've already said I'm grateful for my husband. But probably the next thing I'm most grateful for is my children. And I'm saying collectively because Tom's children are my children now too. Tommy calls me mom. Mm-hmm. They don't all call me mom, but he comes back. You know, he and Becky have started, Becky's even started coming back, one of the daughters. But I know giving birth to Steve was one of the best moments of my life, that feeling of having that child inside of you and then seeing it, you know, knowing he's born and holding him. And is that an accomplishment? I don't know. That's you're going for is, you know, more what have you done with your life?
It's an accomplishment.
You think it's an accomplishment? Yeah. It is. Being a parent, and I haven't always been probably the best parent. I've made mistakes, but I hope I've always been, tried to be there and to love, you know, the way I should love and let him live his own life a lot of times when I felt like I needed to step in and say more than I did. But I've always left him live, you know, his own life and just tried to love, you know, unconditionally. And the same with, you know, Tommy, Becky, John, Joel. Tried to be a good mom to them too. So I would say my greatest accomplishment it really has probably been being a mother. And now a grandmother, that's an accomplishment too. I love that part of it too, yeah, it's always a fun part. Yeah, the nice thing about grandchildren is if you get tired, you can send them home, you know.
Yeah.
Not that that's ever happened, I've never said. I want them to get, in fact, I wish they would come more often. I don't see them enough anymore, but.
Oops. Do you ever think about having more kids? Well, not now, but like, did you ever before?
Yes, we did discuss it, but we thought with five, that was probably enough. Yeah. I lost a baby prior to Steve being born. So I have I have a daughter in heaven that I'll see someday. Yeah.
Has your life been different than what you imagined when you were younger?
Yes. And I don't know if everybody says that, but...
Yeah, assume.
Yeah, when you're a kid, you know, and you play dress-up, like I used to play dress-up with my friends, and we would put fancy dresses on, and we'd put towels on our heads, pretending we were getting married. I mean, it was like that was your big thing, was getting married. Or we'll have to say, the other thing that was always in my mind is I love to sing and I loved music. Mm-hmm. So anytime that we did anything, I always had picked up a stick or something that I would be singing with it. So, and I always thought I wanted to be a music teacher or, you know, a pianist that would, you know, maybe give music lessons on the piano. But back then, which would have been a long time ago, I'm 68 years old, the boys in the household went to college.
Mm-hmm.
Girls were not encouraged to go. They were encouraged to get married, have babies, and stay at home and take care of the kids, do the cooking and the cleaning and all that, which if young people hear this today, they're going to think, oh, wow, how boring. But I did have aspirations of wanting, I don't know if I wanted to be a professional singer. I just love to sing. It's still part of my life. I do worship at church. So, but I did maybe aspire to be musician of some, and I am. I play piano. I did take violin lessons, but hurt my shoulder, and I haven't been able to do that since. But I may take that up again.
So you like thought about going to college?
I did. I thought about I wanted to go, you know, for music, but there wasn't money. But I did get to take piano lessons when I was 12, so that was part of my, you know, doing something that I had thought about doing. Mm-hmm. You know, I just didn't become a teacher.
What were some of your favorite jobs throughout your life?
Well, babysitting is one of my favorites. I always like to babysit. I always like being with kids. I still do. You know, I'm always drawn to kids and, you know, doing stuff with them, teaching them different things. Probably babysitting might have been my favorite. I worked for an attorney for a while, and I did kind of like that. I did like working for the attorney. Then I went from that to working for a coal company. That job I wasn't real crazy about. My last job I had when I became an occupancy director, I liked the fact of helping people that wanted help and that needed help for housing, you know, was housing people. But I still would have to go back and say my favorite thing to do was babysitting. I loved to babysit when I was younger.
I feel like you have an impact on kids.
Yeah. And that kids know when you love them.
Yeah.
They can sense when somebody likes them because they'll, you know, they'll come to you, you know, even though you didn't at first.
What was high school like? Like, what's probably different from today?
Well, probably I need to say when I moved down here, I was in seventh grade, which is a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I left all my friends behind, and when you're in seventh grade and you look different than everybody, you think you're different than everybody else, I felt like I didn't fit in for a while. And high school in some ways I have good memories of some things I did, but I also have bad memories. And I know with a lot of talk about people being offended and being hurt today, I know I have very curly hair that gets very frizzy
mm-hmm.
in the summer, and people would call me the N-word when I was in high school, and it did hurt me, and I didn't want to tell my mom. I was afraid to tell mom. I don't think they would have done anything. Back then, parents didn't come to school.
Mm-hmm.
But there were two girls that I remember that they did not very nice stuff to me in 9th and 10th grade. But so I have some kind of mixed feelings. So in a way, I guess I was kind of bullied back then, but I dealt with it. I can't ever say that it really depressed me. I feel like I'm fortunate in the fact that I can't seriously say that I've ever really experienced deep depression.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody goes through depression about different things at different times,
yeah.
But I've never stayed in depression. I could always pick myself up. And then when I went to Lenape, the last 2 years I was in high school, I enjoyed it there. We became like a family with each other.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of kids that I still occasionally, you know, will give them a call I'll see them somewhere and talk to them. We didn't have a gymnasium there. Whenever we had our gym class, we actually went outside because there was no gym. There is a gym there now. They have a big gym. Our cafeteria was halfway cafeteria, and they would put a door between it, but there was a classroom on the other side of it. But when you had lunch, they would take the wall down and push the desks back so that there was enough room for everybody to eat in the cafeteria. Those years were good, but all my high school years weren't. I don't have all good memories of my high school years, but like I said, I think a lot because of my personality. I'm very easygoing. I have a very easygoing nature. I have a very forgiving nature, and
mm-hmm.
I also have a faith. You know, I believe that that God does exist, and I believe that He was with me through a lot of it. That's part of what my upbringing was.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I could turn to Him when I did start to feel down. So I would say my faith definitely helped me through. Even in my high school years, it helped me through a lot of bad times. But overall, as I said, I'm fortunate. I'm very fortunate because I know a lot of people do suffer from depression. And it's a very real thing. I believe it's very real. And it actually debilitates people. Some
mm-hmm.
people, they can't function with it. They just become, they don't go anywhere. You know, I've heard of people that don't shower for days. I can say I've never, ever been that way. So I'm not sure how I got off on this. But anyway, probably partly because I was bullied. I was bullied in school,
mm-hmm.
and I rose above it. You know, those people, I was kind to them years later. There are thoughts in my head that I would not want to be their friends. I would not have wanted to get a close relationship with them years ago. If I was around them now, I don't know. It would depend on what mm-hmm. they were like now. But overall, you know, I can't say anything was super bad. And I had super good times at Lenape. At Lenape, mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it in my high school years.
I just think it's crazy how they didn't have any, like, mental help. I mean, they probably did a little bit, but it was sort of taboo. So, like, even people that were, like, struggling.
Oh, yeah, it was like...
It was like, you're crazy.
Yeah, you were ostracized from mm-hmm. everybody else. They didn't, you know, there were kids that nobody else would talk to, you know. And I think I was even that way to a certain extent, that they, because they thought I was different. And that started in seventh grade when I moved here as a stranger. But there were kids that they definitely had issues, mm-hmm. and people, you know, shied away from them. And it's sad because they're, you know, now they know that it is, yeah. it's a real thing. I mean, mental illness. And it's not something to be embarrassed about, you know. I hope nobody ever says, I needed somebody to talk to and there was nobody for me to talk to. That would break my heart if yeah. I was in their path and they felt they couldn't talk to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to be open. We can have opinions about things and we can be set in our ways about things and feel that we're right, but we should never make it be a wall that comes up yeah. between us. We can have differing opinions, but we still need to love and care about each other mm-hmm. and work through those differences and not make it have us little clustered groups where we're by ourselves, yeah. where you end up a lot of times extremely alone. Yeah.
Happens to a lot of kids nowadays.
It's sad. That is really sad.
Yeah. What was raising daddy like? Goods and bads.
Mostly good.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only child that I birthed that I raised. He was probably the best baby I could have ever... If I would have had another baby, it would have been a hellion, I'm sure, because he was so good. Your dad was so good. He did not cry when he was hungry. He didn't like having wet or dirty diapers, but he didn't scream or, you know, haul. He was so patient. In the morning, I would get him up. He would be in there awake. I would hear him, and there was a mobile above his bed, and it had butterflies on it. And he would lay there and talk to the butterflies, and it would go around, you know, it would spin on its own. He would hit them, and it would make it go around. It wasn't motorized, mm-hmm. but he would just coo and talk to them. And, you know, then you got him up to eat, and he was super pleasant. He was such a good baby. Like I said, he did not cry, I don't think, hardly at all until he was about 8 months old, and neighbor kids that come over to visit him had strep throat. And he got strep throat, mm-hmm. so he did cry then, and he wouldn't take his bottle, and so I took him to the doctor, and back then they didn't give you an antibiotic. They mm-hmm. told me to take a swab and try to put hydrogen peroxide inside his mouth, which now, when you hear about that, he could have died,
yeah.
because if you get that in your lungs, but he was a really good baby. He was a really good little boy. You know, he listened pretty well most of the time. I mean, you know, there were times like if the door wasn't locked, we lived in a trailer court at one point. It was just he and I lived in the trailer. And if I didn't get the storm door locked, he would take off and I would hear the door. And as soon as he found out how to unlock it too, he just wanted to go outside. He loved mm-hmm. being outside. So I would have to chase him down, and then I would take him for a walk, and then wear him out, and then bring him back. And he was always a good napper. He slept really good. Loved sports. Very smart. He was very, very mm-hmm. smart. In fact, in kindergarten, his teacher called me and said she was having trouble with him, and I thought, it just didn't sound like him. You know, he was never a lot of trouble at home. So I went in and talked to her, and I told her, you know, he reads. He can sit down and read a book. He was in kindergarten. And she said, I can't get him to do anything. And I said, do you think he's bored? Because he could do all this stuff. She mm-hmm. was teaching him his ABCs. He knew him. He could count to 25. So she said, maybe you're right. I said, couldn't you make him a helper and let him help you with things like passing out papers to get him? Well, that worked. Mm-hmm. And then she actually had a real strong attachment for him after that. But he excelled in school. He was always a very good student. In seventh grade, they put him in sixth grade. He was in high honors all the time. So in seventh grade, they put him in the high class, the high achievers class. Mm-hmm. But he left all his friends. None of his friends were in that.
Yeah.
And he hated it. And he purposely did bad. He got bad grades, which he had never done before.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, we go in and we talk to the vice principal, I think he was then. And he suggested that we pull him out of it and put him back in. And when we did that, he was fine mm-hmm. in school. Very good at sports. You know, loved to play sports, loved being outside, loved to fish, liked to camp, liked to hunt. Didn't always like cleaning his room, which is typical of kids. Didn't like doing chores, feeding the dog, and stuff like that. But other than being bad, he never really, only one time he got in trouble, and they went to a concert, and there were people in his vehicle that were drinking, and lights flashing behind them, and mm-hmm. one of them decided to throw a bottle out of the car. So because there were open containers in the car, he ended up being cited. But he was not drinking. They gave him a breathalyzer, and he had no alcohol, mm-hmm. which is good. You know, I was happy about that. But and another time, he was drunk, and he was brought home by the police. And maybe it's not right. It was the first time it had ever happened, but they happened to know, you know, Tom and I, and the policeman brought him home, and they didn't arrest him. But I think he learned his lesson because he got really sick over that. And I took his vehicle, too. He wasn't allowed to have his vehicle for a certain amount of time. But other than that, he was a good, and he has a personality probably similar to mine. He's very easygoing.
Yeah.
And he's a worker. He's a good worker. I think he's, for the most part, pretty easy to get along with. So, yeah, he was excellent, I would say, 94.5% of the time. Small percentage when he got in trouble, but it was never anything real, real bad.
Mm-hmm.
No drugs, which, thank God for that, because, you know, today that's my...
Yeah. Well, that was my last question.
Okay. I didn't do too bad, did I?
No, that was perfect.
I stammered a couple times, but...
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. This is good anyway, because you do get this, you know...
Mm-hmm.
We, you know, when you guys were here, you know, we played, and you know me as Gaga. You know, I'm Gaga. But you don't really know. You still don't know everything about my life. You know, you don't
I
know.
I didn't know 90% of that. Like, I actually, whenever I was writing this, I was like, I don't actually know any of this. Like, I actually want to learn about
it. It's good. And you know what? I don't know who's doing this, what teachers, but you tell her I think this is wonderful.
Okay.
Because I think we should all, I haven't gone to see your Gram for a while. I need to go see her.
Mm-hmm.
But when I go in there, I make a point of going and talking to a couple different older people that are with it. You have to find out, you know, who can you talk to that, you know, will... And I know the one guy that's up there is a veteran. And when he sees me coming now, he just, you know, he smiles. I've engaged him in conversation. He's told mm-hmm. me a lot about, you know, he was in Korea, and his wife passed away. You know, he's told all these personal things about his life. And I don't know. It's like people don't have time to do that anymore.
Yeah.
You don't do it. And we should. You guys should even learn to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going to find life is going to go by so fast anyway. I didn't always agree with everything with my mom and dad. You know, I felt there were some things that mom was too hard about.
Mm-hmm.
Dad gave in to mom because it was easier not to fight about stuff with things that we were allowed to do. But I still respect the fact that she loved us enough to try to protect us.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing difference is that she a lot of times forced her opinion and her ways on us without giving us a chance to kind of choose for ourselves, which we probably would have chosen the right way. There's a right way and a wrong way of dealing, you know, mm-hmm. with people. But I miss my mom. There's days, you know, like this time of year, you know, Mom loved Christmas, and she loved to cook, she loved to bake. I got that from her. She loved music too. I got that from her. I didn't get that from Dad. I got Dad's work ethic, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what I got from him. It was he worked. You still recording this?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh well.
That was like a 45-minute.
Yeah.
Playtime.
But you, well, your teacher will hear that then. What I said. This is excellent that she's mm-hmm. having. You guys do this. Yeah. Too many times. I don't know how many times we were at a restaurant yesterday, and there's kids and parents, and they're all sitting there, and nobody's talking. Even up here, I looked in, and there's Tom, there's your dad. Mm-hmm. You know, and every once in a while, Pappy goes, ah, that's... I better not say it.
She doesn't care. It's okay. All right. Well, I can stop it now.
That was fun. I'm glad you did. I'm glad you asked me.